Oceana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, yeah, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
Good evening, everyone. Sports Beat presented by Budweiser on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. I'm Darren Pritchett from our WSBT studios in Mishawaka. Sean Stiers on location. It's the beginning of the IHSAA Boys Basketball Tournament. Sectional action across the state of Indiana tonight, including activity at Mishawaka, Elkhart, and South Bend, Washington. Sean will be calling the Penn-Mishawaka Boys Basketball Sectional first round game tonight on WSBT Radio. The pregame begins at 6:07, and the opening tip of that sectional between the Cavemen and the Kingsmen comes your way at 6:30. So a shortened edition of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat tonight here on WSBT Radio. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat is brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds over the next hour. Here's what we want to accomplish. We're going to talk about the Notre Dame basketball NCAA tournament resume, and we'll use one of the first four teams from last year as a bit of a way to evaluate where they are right now in terms of the bubble. Also, coming up in our next segment, we'll get to what we did in yesterday, some Notre Dame hockey conversation. You'll hear from Martinus Gebbin, who had the big game against Wake Forest on Saturday with 22 points and 14 rebounds. And at the end of this hour, leading into the Mishawaka Penn game, Sean will answer the My Five question of the day, the five keys for a Mishawaka win over Penn tonight in sectional boys basketball action. That's what we have to get to over the next little bit here on WSBT Radio. And it's very odd to bring Sean into the program without buzzers, sneakers moving around on the floor, basketballs right. Bouncing. Normally there's a JV game going on when we bring you on the air from Mishawaka High School, but all is quiet right now before the craziness gets underway.
That's right. It's like me. It's the Mishawaka Sports Network video guys hanging out in the crow's nest right now. They're waving at me right now. Yep, I guess they're listening up there. And then there's just a bunch of just general people buzzing around the gym. There's not much else going on right now. So I almost feel like I'm at golf rather than getting ready for a basketball game. And I feel like I almost have to whisper over here.
Well, outside of Notre Dame football, the Indy 500, this is as good as it gets for Indiana sports fans with the boys basketball state tournament getting underway. We got sectional action tonight. Game number two at Mishawaka is LaPorte versus South Bend Adams. So the winner of Mishawaka Penn will take on South Bend Riley Friday night over at Mishawaka High School. More on that coming up in just a little bit. Well, tomorrow night, Notre Dame basketball will play their final regular season home game, and they will take on a limping Pittsburgh Panther basketball team that is 0-17 in the ACC. They start four freshmen, and it has been a tough go for Kevin Stallings and that Pittsburgh program this year. The big question is, will Bonzi Colson return to the floor? His last game was December 30th against Georgia Tech, early January foot surgery. He has been out ever since. He was scheduled to work out with the team yesterday and today. And the last time Mike Bray talked about specifics, he felt like he could make a decision Wednesday morning if Colson was going to play or not. And it sure seems like, worst case, he would be in the starting lineup and would go out for the opening tip. And if he's not ready to play, they'll probably just foul or turn the ball over to get him out of the game real quick. Otherwise, maybe he'll play 10 to 15 minutes against Pittsburgh. So that's just the huge cloud right now over this Notre Dame-Pittsburgh game. Will Bonzi Colson get back out onto the floor for this Notre Dame basketball team? And, Sean, this is one of those games that is not going to help your NCAA tournament resume. Pittsburgh, one of the worst Power 5 basketball teams in the country. As I mentioned, 0-17 in the ACC. This is just adding on another victory to your resume. And I do want to point this out, since we are going to be focusing a little bit more than usual on tournament resumes, since Notre Dame is trying to claw their way back into the conversation, that the NCAA selection committee does not see Notre Dame as 17-12. Which is the record right now.
Right, right.
Keep in mind, over in Maui, they played a non-Division I Chaminade school and won. So in the tournament committee's eyes, Notre Dame is 16-12 and not 17-12. Now, not a huge difference, but down the line, maybe it could matter if Notre Dame gets close to the bubble and has a chance to get back into the NCAA tournament. So Sean and I have started kind of getting into some deeper tournament conversations. We did it yesterday, and I said, you know what, let's just take a look at the tournament resume. We'll just throw some numbers out there and see where they stand. And then I did a little homework and went back to Dayton last year, the first four, and I picked one of the teams that made the first four. They're basically the last at-large teams into the field of 68, so that's what we need to focus on. And I picked Providence as my school to maybe measure where the Notre Dame resume is as of right now. So let me run through some things, and then we'll talk about it. Again, according to the tournament committee, Notre Dame is 16-12 since the Chaminade win will not count. They are 7-9 in the ACC. Now, their strength of schedule is still very strong. Being in the ACC obviously helps. They sit at 39. Now, their non-conference strength of schedule is middle of the pack at 157, but the last few years they've been in the 300s at least a couple of times, so that's actually a big improvement. The committee likes to see how you play away from home. Notre Dame is 5-7 on the road, 2-1 on a neutral floor. I'll just kind of stop there. When you look at that portion of the resume, the RPI, they're within the field of 68, but they're in that gray area since at-large teams outside of the top 68 are going to eat up a lot of those bids. So you'd like to be into the 40s and, best case, in the 30s to really feel comfortable. But otherwise, sure, you like the ACC record to be a little better, but the other numbers aren't going to kill them that we just went through, in my opinion. Those are at least doable. It's just picking up some more quality wins, I think, to help enhance those numbers.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And just kind of glancing at it, the first thing, just looking at overall strength of schedule, they're actually better than the Providence team last year by 10 points. Notre Dame has a 39 right now. That Providence team you referred to had a 49. Then you look at the RPI, a little bit worse by 11. So some trade-off there. What really kills them is probably the non-conference strength of schedule at just 157, and that amazes me that it's that low when you consider they did play Wichita State and Michigan State, but I guess that shows the trade-off when you play the Chicago States of the world and those kind of teams. So,
well, just doing some figuring, against the top 150, they played 19 games. They have played a total of 28 Division I games, so that means they have played 9 games against 150 and below. So that's probably the number that brings down that 157 non-conference strength of schedule. And I think this is really worth mentioning. We pointed out some of the positives of the Notre Dame resume, what Bonzi Colson could mean to them if he comes back and plays well. That could be a really good look for the committee. But I just want to caution everyone about one thing. It's very easy to pick and choose your positive arguments to make the whole resume look a little bit better than possibly it is. If you nitpick a little bit, you can find a lot of good things that make them look like a tournament team.
Sure.
I think we need to remember, everybody is focusing on Bonzi comes back, plays well, what it could mean. Keep in mind that Notre Dame, with a healthy Bonzi Colson, a healthy Matt Farrell, DJ Harvey, Rex Pfluger, lost to Indiana on a neutral floor in a game in which they led by double digits twice, including in the second half, and barring a Big Ten tournament victory by Indiana, they are not an NCAA tournament team. We also have to keep in mind, all those players were healthy when Notre Dame hosted a Ball State team that will not make the tournament unless they win the MAC tournament title. I think Buffalo might be the favorite to win that. So that's a home loss against an NCAA tournament non-team. And that's with a healthy Bonzi Colson. So the committee absolutely can take a look at Colson post-injury and what this team looks like, and they can evaluate the team with Bonzi Colson playing once again. But then they're also going to look down the line before Colson got hurt. Those are two warts right now on this Notre Dame resume that cannot be forgotten. Now, if he comes out and plays extremely well and they beat Virginia twice, like we were talking yesterday, regular season and ACC tournament, then those warts kind of go away. But I think we have to remember, even when Colson was healthy, this team was not playing as well as we thought they could have. I think we all felt like they were going to trend in the right direction during the ACC regular season. They were going to be a top five team in the ACC if they figured everything out, and I thought they were going to figure it out. But even with everybody healthy, including Colson, there was those two losses that pop up that probably will catch the attention of the committee. That's why I continue to go back to the fact they don't only need just wins right now. They need those quality wow wins to really enhance that resume, maybe cover up a couple of the flaws on that resume.
Yeah, you're right about all those points, and we kind of pointed out at the time that even with those guys losing to Ball State in Indiana was not good, especially the way they lost to Indiana. They had kind of a game in hand that they should have won. They weren't able to finish it off on a neutral floor. But at the same time, I think that at some point, if they're at full strength with both Farrell and with Bonzi, Mike Bray and the team, they're going to get things figured out, because yes, that's typically what's happened with Mike Bray teams. As the season goes on, they figure it out. But then you pull both of those guys out at the same time for, what, five different games, and then you've still got Bonzi out for all these games. And when you look at the close losses that they've had in the ACC, Miami by 3 points, Virginia Tech by 5 points, North Carolina at home by 1 point, Louisville in two overtimes by 4 points. So I think if you look at those four games specifically, if you've got Bonzi, especially when those games were in the season, there's a pretty good chance that you win those games instead of lose those games. So I understand. I mean, the bottom line is they didn't. But now I think if they get Bonzi back, and I've been kind of thinking about our discussion yesterday about what seed would you rather be, because of the fact when you start looking at the hard numbers, they really do need that 9 seed, which again means that they're going to beat Virginia next week or this weekend after beating Pittsburgh tomorrow. That's what it's going to take to get that 9 seed. Obviously, that gives you a really quality win that gives you a chance to possibly beat. How about Virginia Tech winning that game last night against Duke? Gives you a chance possibly to beat Virginia Tech. I don't know how far up Virginia Tech might end up if they're going to slide out of that 8 spot or even higher. But then it also gives you a chance to play Virginia. At the very least, if you can get into that spot, win that first game, play Virginia again, at the very least, it's going to boost your strength of schedule and will boost your RPI as well. So, I mean, that's really... I agree more and more with what we were talking about last night, even though they still need it. It can't just be you play those games. They still need they don't have to be dominating performances by Bonzi, but they at least have to have a Bonzi Colson who looks even, I don't know, to put a number on it, 80% of what he was. They have to have a Bonzi Colson that looks like he can be a difference maker when they get into the tournament. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a real tough road for him on Selection Sunday.
You just wonder if a Colson that can play 10 to 15 minutes in these games, is that enough to change the thinking of what he could do to Notre Dame if they get into the NCAA tournament? I'm not sure that's enough, but I think there's enough in front of them to at least get them a little closer to the bubble, where that conversation may have to be had by the committee. Now, Sean kind of touched on a couple of the numbers from the 2017 Providence team that was in the first four in Dayton. They were one of the 11 seeds. USC, Kansas State were a couple of the other teams that played as 11 seeds in the first four. That Providence team was 20-12. And just to compare Notre Dame this year and Providence last year, strength of schedule, Providence was 49, Notre Dame is 39. So the Irish are better. RPI, which I don't know how much the committee looks at. This is always debated. It doesn't sound like they look at it as much as we believe. But Providence was 55, Notre Dame 66. Non-conference strength of schedule, Providence last year had 58. Notre Dame this year has 157. Basically the same team on the road, Notre Dame 5-7, Providence 4-7. To me, this is where Notre Dame falls a bit behind in the analyzation of RPI victories against the top 25, top 50, top 100, top 150. Now, they're very close right off the bat versus the top 25. Providence last year was 1-4 against the RPI top 25. Notre Dame this year is 1-5. So basically the same. Top 50, Providence a little better, 6-8. Notre Dame this year, 4-8. Again, very close. Top 100, Providence was 8-9. Notre Dame was 7-10. But the real difference is against the top 150. Providence 13-10. Three games over 500. Notre Dame against the top 150, only 8-11. They are three games under 500. And as you take a look, Providence played a total of 32 games. 23 were against the top 150. So both teams played nine top 150-plus teams on their schedule. So Notre Dame does not have a winning record against the RPI top 25, top 50, top 100. And I think the top 150 is a number that really hurts. I mean, there's a lot of average teams between 100 and 150, and Notre Dame is 8-11. They have one loss against a team worse than 150, and that was the loss to Georgia Tech earlier this year, a team they split with during the ACC conference season. So to me, that top 150 number does not look good. 8-11 is not a number that looks very enticing, and the fact there's a limited number of real quality victories is something that we continue to go back to, that nine seed route looks a whole lot better, even though it's more difficult to beat Virginia Tech than going through the Pittsburgh-Louisville route than North Carolina. To me, I just feel like it's in the best interests of this team to try to get those quality wins. I don't know if Louisville makes that much difference. It's a helper, but it's not going to really change the complexion of that resume in comparison to Virginia Tech if you can get them. And then you get Virginia a second time in a week. No, that's not a lot of fun. But to me, that's a road that might be worth taking right now just to make that resume look a little sexier than it is right now.
No, that's it. But the thing is, to get that nine seed, that means they're going to beat Virginia this week.
Correct.
So that in itself is a huge feather in their cap to be able to go on the road and beat the number one team in the nation, because they're number one right now. So that, I mean, that's what getting that nine seed means, is that they will have won that game coming up this weekend. So that is a huge feather, and I just really, and then especially if you can win that first game, that 8-9 game at the ACC tournament, then you play Virginia again, and even if you don't win that game, you've already beaten them once. If you can at least make that a close game, and again, I think all the numbers go out the window if they can make a case. And I mean, you don't want to have to put too much on Bonzi, because we're still talking about a guy who's been out for 2 months. But if they can make a case that this is how we're playing with our full strength and our preseason ACC Player of the Year, our preseason National Player of the Year candidate, if they can make a case that we're playing like this at full strength with these guys, then I don't know how much, because as we talked about yesterday, we really don't have anything to compare it to. We couldn't come up with a case in the past where a team was missing a guy of anywhere close to that caliber and then was you know, trying to get him back and trying to make this kind of case. But I think that is the thing that is going to outweigh a lot of these numbers. If he comes back and if he's playing well and can really just sort of pass the eye test, I guess, that they are a tournament team when they've got their full strength team.
It's hard to put a lot of expectations on Bonzi, because even though it may be known within the Notre Dame basketball family, those of us on the outside, we don't even know if he can play tomorrow. So right. It's really exactly. hard to put huge
That's
expectations. Yeah. So maybe we'll see a little something tomorrow night if he gets on the floor. But again, it's going to be limited minutes, if at all, for Bonzi Colson tomorrow night against an 0-17 Pittsburgh team. Now, when we talked to head coach Mike Bray yesterday, Notre Dame had popped up on bracketology again. They were in the next to last four out, so they were eight away from getting into the tournament. Basically, I think Lenardi had them ranked as number 75 in his grouping. So Mike Bray was asked about being back on the radar for bracketology, and here's what the head coach of the Fighting Irish had to say.
Yeah, I saw us. We were next four out. We had a cake. We had a celebration today at lunch. There was a big cake, a next four out cake. And you love being number 75. We had that there. It's awesome. To be honest with you, after what we've been through, to see that today, that's very, that and 55 degrees really picked me up today.
So Mike's having some fun just being back on the radar, and he was asked a little bit more about bracketology and Notre Dame just creeping a little closer toward the NCAA tournament bubble.
We certainly have more work to do, but when you lose seven in a row and there's no Bonzi Colson, I don't think people looked at our numbers as much. You look at our BPI and our numbers and all that stuff. We're, you know, when you get to the 10, 11, 12 seeds, they all have a lot of warts. Kildy is charged. We do too. But we have some things going for us, and so, I'm not squinting as hard as I was in Boston, but I'm still squinting a little.
This has been a roller coaster ride the last couple of weeks. They get a big win, you think, all right, here we go, and then there's a setback, and you're down in the dumps, and then you beat Wake Forest, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit happier about your situation. You play an awful Pittsburgh team tomorrow with that golden ticket to play at Virginia, with a chance to really change the complexion of your season and your NCAA tournament resume. I know first things first, you still have to go out and play well. It's senior night. You got to beat Pittsburgh. But the Virginia game could really, really send us on a roller coaster ride, because if you get that, then all of a sudden you start dreaming the really, really big, big dream of this team losing seven in a row and then finding their way back to the tournament. If you don't win against Virginia, then all of a sudden that dream diminishes, knowing that you're probably going to have to win maybe four games in the ACC tournament just to have an opportunity to go. So I guess fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a bumpy ride for about another week and a half.
Yeah, and I've got bad news, Darren. A fire alarm just went off here in the cave. I don't know if you can hear that in the background.
I can.
And a security guy just came in and told a big group of students to leave, and he's talking to Ryan Watson, one of the assistant athletic directors, right now. So I don't know if we're all going to be told to vacate here.
Don't make eye contact. Look down and
avert eye contact.
Nothing's going on.
I may have to call you here in a few minutes, but I just to put you on notice that it might happen. We'll wait and see.
Well, I guess
stranger things have happened.
Somebody might be just having a little fun at the cave tonight before sectionals get underway. Or maybe the popcorn is extra hot tonight, one of the two. We'll have to see. Well, the horn just went off, so that still works. So that's good
right.
sign.
That's right.
All right, it
is. Scorekeeper
is
here.
29 minutes after the top of the hour. Sean Steyer's live at Mishawaka High School. I'm Darren Pritchett back in our WSBT studios. Coming up next, we'll talk a little Notre Dame hockey. You'll hear from Notre Dame basketball player Martin Escaven coming off a great game against Wake Forest on Saturday, helping the Irish to beat Wake Forest 76-71. And again, the program tonight is done at 6 o'clock because we have coverage of the Mishawaka Cavemen in the 4A Mishawaka Boys Basketball Sectional tonight. It's first-round action, 6:07 pregame, 6:30 tip. It's that great rivalry, Penn and Mishawaka, with the winner getting the second-ranked team in the state, undefeated, South Bend Riley, Friday night. So high school basketball action in the postseason coming up in just about 40 minutes here on 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Gibbs with the basketball now. Burns going to come back in. Gibbs out to Farrell. Bounce pass to Kevin with a two-handed power jam inside, and we're tied at 28. Martin Escaven taking out some aggression on that rim.
What a game for Mr. Gibbons Saturday at Wake Forest as Notre Dame rallied late to beat the Demon Deacons 76-71. Gibbons 10 of 18 from the field. Dunks and little jump hooks, something that Gibbons uses to his advantage. He had 22 points and a whopping 14 rebounds and helping the Irish to win by five. And he has become such a reliable player since Bonzi Colson went down with that foot injury, needing surgery in early January. And Gibbons has really come to the rescue of this team. Gibbs has developed. When Farrell has been healthy, he has been outstanding for this team. But, Sean, I'm not sure where this team would be right now had it not been for Gibbons coming on so strong. I would have to imagine he has wrapped up ACC Most Improved Player because he was off the Notre Dame radar last year. He stuck around for the season, and boy, it's a good thing that he did because he has been so reliable offensively during some really tough and bleak times offensively for this team during the ACC season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, he was averaging a double-double there for a while and then kind of had that fade. And I think the extra minutes, I remember talking to him just kind of early after Bonzi had gone down, and his minutes really jumped up, and they had four games in fairly rapid succession, and he was talking about how worn down he was already at that point. And I know they've tried to kind of save his legs a little bit, but it's tough because they've been so depleted. They had that stretch where they only had seven scholarship players, but he's obviously played very valiantly and very well for him, and I would have to think that he is going to be the most improved. And I mean, I think that I was about to say European, when he played for Lithuania over the summer and they ended up playing Purdue over in Southeast Asia in that College Games Championship. I mean, it was a big summer for him. You can see all the growth that he's made. And I mean, the only downside of the whole thing is, man, it would be really nice to have him for one more year at this point, but that's not going to happen.
Well, he was courtside after the win over Wake Forest Saturday as he spoke with the voice of the Fighting Irish basketball team, Jack Nolan.
Martinez, first of all, Austin Torres greeting him.
Big boy.
Matt Farrell greeting him, yelling big boy. Congratulations on an incredible effort. I think maybe the best game of your life. Tell me how you found a way to come up with this much energy and make all these plays, including the last one. He tried to throw the ball off you, but that wasn't happening.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm just very fortunate to be in the positions I was. You know, my teammates were founding me at the right times. I was able to convert, you know, their shots. Just, you know, all credit goes to my teammates and coaches.
What does this say about this team?
Resilience. The same thing I said at Maui, you know. We found a way to overcome adversity. You know, we were down nine. They were hitting big shots. We just found a way to defend, get stops, and get rebounds and pull this one out.
A lot of folks think you and Darrell Moore are the top candidates for Most Improved Player. You think you made a statement today?
Just trying to help my team win. That's all I'm worried about.
Martinez, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right. Martinez, Kevin, everybody.
So that was Martinez on Saturday. He's a very, very humble young man. Doesn't like to talk about himself, as you could tell right there in that interview with Jack Nolan. Now, yesterday, Mike Bray was asked about Gibbons. Also, assuming that Colson gets back on the floor tomorrow or some point, how is it all going to work with Gibbons and Colson on the floor together? And Mike Bray was asked about that. And sure enough, just walking out onto the floor to get ready for practice was Gibbons, and he actually hollered to Coach Bray, yeah, Coach, what is going to be the answer to that question? You can't really hear Martinez say that, but you'll hear Mike respond to him during this particular soundbite as Mike Bray talks about Martinez Gibbons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been playing well. They didn't double him. They played him with one guy, and he has really developed into a low post scorer for us. He's very confident right now. He's got good footwork down there. You know, so one of the options is, I didn't know we'd have this when Bonzi left.
That's actually not the right soundbite, but it was a good comment there by Coach Bray talking about Martinez Gibbons. Here is the actual soundbite I was looking for as Mike Bray was asked about Colson and Gibbons working together.
More from him coming back.
Right.
How do you balance him and Gibbons?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's one of the things. Yeah, yeah. You're coming off the bench. Can't take him out. You know what? They played pretty darn well together in Maui, playing off of each other. And it's one of those things, like, I don't want to overanalyze or overcoach it, but he needs to continue to stay confident, and we're going to throw it to him in the post to score, and Bonzi can play off of him in post some, and, you know, it'd be a little bit of maybe, you know, if we get back to that, we'll show some film of November of those two guys playing well together.
Well, we can sit here and talk about X's and O's and Colson and Gebbin working together. I'm not really overly concerned. I just want to get Bonzi Colson back on the floor. It's going to work somehow, some way. You can make it work putting an All-American back on the floor. Everybody is still going to get their touches. Again, he's not going to be playing 30 to 35 minutes, so this isn't, I don't think it's going to be that drastic of a change.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the biggest thing is just getting Bonzi out there. If you can get him back and he's healthy and he's able to go for however many minutes, you can figure all that out as you go along. The key is just putting the hammer down and figuring out how to beat Pittsburgh and close off the home portion of the schedule and get to Virginia the weekend, and hopefully it just all kind of takes care of itself. Getting Bonzi healthy is the big thing.
And then we don't have to play any more home games at Purcell Pavilion this year.
Yeah, there you go. As we tried to sneak, or as I tried to sneak in there last night. But hopefully they don't have to play anymore, because that means they're in the NCAA tournament, not the NIT.
I'm keeping that mindset.
The nasty word, right?
Those initials are, I don't know if there's anything worse than IRS, but I think those three initials are pretty close. There's not a whole lot of difference, I'll tell you that much.
It's about right.
There's an I in both. All right, 19 minutes in front of the top of the hour. I'm Darren Pritchett from our WSBT studio. Sean Steyer's at Mishawaka High School. He's got the call of some Hoosier hysteria tonight. It is Mishawaka versus Penn in 4A sectional action from Mishawaka High School. Pre-game at 6:07, opening tip at 6:30 here on 96.1 FM WSBT. A couple of thoughts. Since we did not get to this yesterday, on the Notre Dame hockey team, who wrapped up the regular season over the weekend at the Compton Family Ice Arena. Notre Dame played a very, very strong second period on Friday, scoring five times en route to a 6-3 victory over Michigan State. They didn't play their best in the third period, giving up a couple of goals, but they still won 6-3, halting their season-high three-game losing streak. So then Saturday, even though they're the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, they are regular season champion in the conference, they're still a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, according to the Pairwise. They still had senior night to take care of on Saturday. It is always a huge priority of head coach Jeff Jackson to get a win for the seniors, just like any coach. And Notre Dame had the lead, let it slip away, and lost to last place Michigan State by a score of 4-3. They're better than they were in the first half. It's tough to beat a team four times in a row. Notre Dame had beaten them three straight, couldn't pick up the victory on Saturday. And, Sean, you had the call on Saturday. I had the call on Friday. The effort I saw in Ann Arbor the previous Sunday in a 1-0 loss was there in the first two periods. They didn't play their best in the third. So I kind of felt like they were building, getting back into form with what they accomplished on Friday. And they had a 2-1 lead in the second period on Saturday against Michigan State. The Spartans have a good young line of Kotarenko, Lewandowski, and Hirose. They didn't do much on Friday. They did a whole lot on Saturday. And Sean, it just had the feel of a game. I'm just not sure the highest intensity was brought forth by Notre Dame in that game. Would you evaluate the situation in a similar way? Do you look at it differently?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that at times it was there. A couple of those goals that Michigan State was able to score, there was one where there was kind of, there were a bunch of bodies in front of the net, and it just seemed like Cale Morris kind of lost track of where the puck was, maybe, and Michigan State ended up scoring. And then there was another one where there was a shot by Gatt out by the blue line, and again, it was, I think, because I can't think of the, I think it might have been Hirose who was from Michigan State, who was credited with the goal.
And
yeah, exactly, just some traffic. So it wasn't for complete lack of focus or effort or any of that stuff, but it definitely did seem like it was maybe off and on sometimes, and then there were those couple times where it looked like Morris just sort of lost track of exactly where the puck was, because there were just so many bodies out there in front of the net.
Here was Irish head coach Jeff Jackson after the loss on Saturday to Michigan State to wrap up the regular season.
No, it isn't. But, you know, as I've said all season long, it's extremely hard to beat the same team four times in a row. And that's more what I expected from Michigan State. That's the team I saw on tape. You know, last night we jumped on them in the second period, and tonight we didn't have that. So.
And the Irish have not been very good 5-on-5 in the second half of the year. They're outstanding on special teams, and I'll play that soundbite coming up here in just a second. But you can win a lot of hockey games on special teams, but if you get into the postseason and the officials put the whistle in the back pocket and there's not many power play opportunities, you're going to have to win the game 5-on-5. And Notre Dame has not been at their best at even strength over the last couple of months. And just to kind of back up the point, the special teams unit is in pretty good shape entering the postseason, particularly the penalty kill unit that is number 3 in the country when they are shorthanded.
Well, our penalty kill, and well, our power play's been good too. I mean, anytime you get a, you know, your special teams are hovering around 110% power play plus penalty kill, that's really good. I mean, you know, most teams are sitting around 100, you know, even good teams. So for our PK to be close to 90 and our power play being at 20, you know, that's really, really good. And, you know, I give my associate coach, Paul Pooley, a lot of credit because he puts a lot of time and effort in it. But, you know, the guys on the ice are doing the job, and that's a big part of it. You know, our penalty kill, especially with Dennis Gilbert and Justin Wade on defense, and then, you know, our top four forwards do a great job on the penalty kill. And, you know, we need to be more consistent 5-on-5. That's the biggest key for us right now.
And to get better, puck possession is important for this team, and also the inability to get the puck out of our defensive zone to center ice to set up odd man rushes. That's going to have to be better. We did not do that very well at all at Michigan before the series against Michigan State. So if the Irish can get the puck out of their zone a little quicker and more efficiently, leading to odd man rushes, that helps your opportunities when you're in a 5-on-5 spot. So Notre Dame is the only Big Ten hockey team that will not play this week in the Big Ten tournament. It's first round best of 3 series, and Notre Dame will play the lowest seeded team remaining. After the first round, they will host the Big Ten Tournament semifinal on March the 10th, and the time of that game has not been established as of yet. So what are the responsibilities of the coaching staff with Notre Dame on a bye this week?
We'll have a full week of practice. We'll get a couple additional days off over the next few weeks, but, you know, because we want them to be rested, but we don't want to lose our competitive edge. You know, we learned our lesson a few years back, and, you know, we'll work on the details of our game, but we also have to do some competing, you know, and it doesn't have to be just structure. It has to be just competing and keeping our edge.
And keeping your edge is very, very important this time of the year. So, Sean, let me give you this little tidbit, because people have asked, are you concerned about the Irish since the 16-game winning streak? They are 4-6-1. Do you have concerns about the postseason? Here's my response. Having been through this now for a decade watching college hockey, we have went into the tournament playing fantastic. You lose the first game of the NCAA tournament. We have stumbled into the tournament and won games. So I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. Just when I think I haven't figured out what we're going to do in the tournament, it never seems to have the result you're thinking. So if you go to the numbers, Notre Dame has been to the NCAA hockey tournament how many times?
9 times.
That's right, 9 times. 4 times, they were either the number 1 or the number 2 seed. 5 times, they have been either the number 3 seed or the number 4 seed. The results, when Notre Dame is a number 1 or a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, their record is 1-4. So they have won only one first-round game. When they are the 3 seed or the 4 seed, Notre Dame is 7-5. Their 3 trips to the Frozen Four have come from In 2008, they were the number 4 seed in the West Regional. They went all the way to the championship game that year. They went to the Frozen Four in 2011 as the number 3 seed, losing in the national semifinal to Duluth. And, of course, last year, the number 4 seed in the Northeast Regional, beating a 1-2 to get to the Frozen Four before losing to another number 1 eventual national champion, Denver, 6-1. So every time the Irish have made it to the Frozen Four, they've lost to the national champion. But it's interesting. When they're the 1 or the 2, they're 1-4. When they're the 3 and the 4, they have a record of 7-5. They're going to be probably a number 1 seed, at worst a number 2 seed this year. And, you know, it's just, there's no rhyme or reason. 2009, they played outstanding hockey the whole year, lost to Bemidji State and Grand Rapids. In 2013, they had a heck of a run late in the year to become a number 1 seed and played a clunker, losing to St. Cloud State 5-1. And we lost to Lowell 6-1 in the Hockey East Tournament semifinals last year. Did not look good and came back and played great in the NCAA tournament. That's why I'm not overly excited one way or the other with the way the team is playing right now, because history shows it just doesn't matter. When you get to the tournament, throw everything out the window.
That's exactly right. That's why we were talking about how a 7-seed UConn won the whole thing in basketball a couple of years ago. I mean, I've been kind of storing this in the back of my mind watching this team, and obviously I wasn't going to say anything because I kind of was thinking, haven't some of their final or Frozen Fours, just like last year, come when they were a lower seed? And you just spelled it all out right now. The key is just getting things going once again, and maybe a little downtime, and then getting into the Big Ten tournament a week from Saturday will be the recipe for success for them.
When we fly to regionals, we have a lot of success. The last 3 times we have bused to a regional, we have not won a game. We'll be flying this year because there's no close-by destination. That means absolutely nothing, but just kind of fun to look at that particular stat. All right, Irish off this week. They'll host the Big Ten semifinal on March the 10th. My 5 question of the day is next. The 5 keys for a Mishawaka win over Penn tonight in sectional boys basketball action. 8 minutes in front of the top of the hour at WSBT.
1 question, 5 answers. This is the My 5 question of the day on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
The 5 keys for a Mishawaka win over Penn in boys basketball sectional action. We begin, Sean, with number 5.
Number 5 is share the ball. Part of the success that Mishawaka has had this year is they haven't tried to force it to their big guy, John Binion, who averaged a double-double last year. He's averaging a little bit less, but there's more balance in their scoring, and they've won more.
Number 4.
Number 4 is be patient. They beat a good St. Joe team last week because they didn't try, again, to force things offensively. They took what was there. They also possessed the ball. Use the clock to their advantage to keep the ball away from the Indians. Need to do the same tonight.
5 keys for a Mishawaka win over Penn tonight. Number 3.
Number 3 is composure. There were 3 overtime games at last year's sectional, a huge amount of sectional overtime games across the state last year. They'll have to deal with more adrenaline with bigger stakes tonight.
Number 2.
Play defense. In Mishawaka's 8 losses, their opponents have averaged 58 points, but in their 14 wins, their opponents have scored an average of just 40 points per game. So a big difference. They held Penn to 50 the first time, so right around there is a perfect number.
And the number 1 key for a Mishawaka win over Penn tonight.
Ron Heklinski, the head coach, and I were thinking along the same lines on this one. Make someone besides Penn's big 2 players, Noah Applegate and Drew Lutz, beat them. Applegate's a junior. He scored over 1,000 career points. He averages 20 a game. Lutz averages about 16. They both got to their average in the first meeting between these two when Mishawaka won, but nobody else was close to double figures.
That's the My 5 question of the day at 5:57. Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Hoosier Hysteria next.